Reformed Church.
Thank you, Lord. We regard you, and we thank you so much, Jesus, for doing everything you've done for us. Lord, no one has ever done for us what you've done for us, Lord. So we give you respect, Lord, that we wouldn't give anyone else. Lord, not because we're afraid of you, but because we're not afraid of you now. Lord, back in the day under the law, people might have been afraid of you or afraid of judgment or something like that. But I thank you so much, Lord, that you have revealed your true nature to us now. We are not scared of you. It is not okay to be afraid of God, because to be afraid of God means that you don't know God. That's all that means. If you knew the Lord, you wouldn't be afraid of him. You would ask him for what he has to offer you to receive it. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for your spirit that's with us tonight, Lord. Your spirit is here with us right now, Lord. We acknowledge your spirit here with us right now. And we understand, Lord, the potential of your spirit being here tonight. We know what the potential, Lord, for that is. We know what that means, Lord. For your spirit to be here, Lord, means that people can understand Jesus then. The potential, Lord, of your spirit being here means that people can be healed. We know that people can be risen from the dead. We know that people, Lord, can live longer. We know, Lord, that people can see things they haven't seen before, feel things they haven't felt before, because your spirit's here, Lord. Thank you for your spirit, therefore, being here tonight. Lord, we acknowledge the fact that your spirit is here, and we acknowledge the potential of what that means for us tonight, Lord. Thank you that nothing is impossible for those that believe, and that's not just some positive saying. That's talking about believing in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the presence of your spirit here tonight, Lord. We are confident in what we have in you. We stand fast in what we have in you, Lord. And we understand the miracles that we have living right on the inside of us, Lord. Every believer has miracles living right on the inside of them. The same power that created this universe, Lord, and the same power to recreate it is the power that lives on the inside of us right now. Thank you so much, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. The power to be able to turn people's minds around. Thank you for that power that's here with us tonight, Lord, living on the inside of us. And we acknowledge that power as well, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We acknowledge your power here tonight, Lord. Your sweet spirit with us, Lord, tonight. Thank you so much for giving us the gift of your spirit, Lord. Thank you for giving us the gift of your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I just want to take a very, very brief break just from praying, just for 1 second. You can even leave the music on low if you want as well. I want to explain something before we go through the rest of the night, okay? We believe right here at this church, we believe in speaking in other tongues, but let's put that aside, right? Let's say you're not into that, right? Let's say, you know, I don't really believe in speaking in other tongues. I believe that was for the apostles, or I believe that was for whatever, or I just believe it's demonic, or whatever. Okay, let me simplify it for you, because you have been taught wrong about speaking other tongues. Let me just state this very quickly. Do you believe that God can speak in any language? I mean, like French. Can God speak French? You think God is able to reach people in France that are believers? Or do you think that he only speaks English or Hebrew or something, and he won't be able to speak to them? Do you believe he can speak French? And this is going somewhere, so just stay with me on it, because these are actually important questions to ask yourself. Right? We know he can speak English, because I'm sure that, you know, if you've been a believer for a long time, you've probably heard the Lord speak through another person or even in your own heart in English. Right? So God can speak English. Right? And hopefully we acknowledge the fact that the God who knows everything can speak French too, right? Can he speak German? You think God can reach people in Germany that speak German? You think that he can speak different African dialects? You think God can speak Chinese? You think God can speak those languages? Do you think he's aware of that? Those are not silly questions. I'm being serious, and I'm not being sarcastic with you. I'm really asking you that question for you to answer that in your heart. Do you think God can speak those languages? Okay. You just said you believe in speaking in other tongues then. You believe it then. You've been taught that speaking in other tongues is like a personal prayer language. I'm sure you've heard that before. That's not true. The Bible, look it up in your Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's not a personal prayer language. The word tongue in the Bible, you ever heard the Bible say that, you know, that every nation and every tongue will at one point or another say that Jesus is Lord? You ever heard that? Does that mean they're speaking in a personal prayer language? Every tongue? No, I mean, the word tongue is just an old English word for language. right? It just means other languages. That's all that means. So when you say speaking in, and this is sort of my cue that someone has a wrong mentality about speaking in other tongues, is when they say speaking in tongues. Because in tongues, sort of, we take that to mean in a personal prayer language, where the Bible will more frequently say speaking in other tongues, because it means speaking in other languages. So as long as you believe that God can speak more than one language, that he's multilingual, you believe in speaking in other tongues. That's all that is. The Bible just says that we can speak with tongues of angels and of men. When you speak in other tongues, you're not always speaking in some heavenly language. You know, when someone gets up here and is speaking another tongue, you could be speaking French. I've spoken Hebrew before. I don't know Hebrew. And I looked up the word later on and realized I was speaking Hebrew. I've said things in Spanish before up here. It just depends. It could be a mix of things. And just all that I'm saying is, if you believe that God can speak in other tongues and you believe that God lives in you, let me not use the word tongues. If you believe that God can speak other languages and God lives in you, and if you believe that God can speak through us, hopefully, right, God can speak through us, because if I don't know why you're here if you don't think God can speak through people, because you don't want to hear me, right? You don't want to hear my opinion, because what's my opinion worth to you? I hope you come here because you believe that God can speak through people, right? We don't do that perfectly here, right? You shouldn't put your hope or your trust in people and what they say, but God can certainly speak through people. You read a Bible, guess how that came through people. And guess what? It was written in a different language. It was written in a different language. And it was written in different dialects across the thousands of years that the Bible was written. God can speak in other languages. And if you believe that, and you believe that God can speak through you, you believe that God can speak in other languages through you then. That's not weird. Every Christian really does believe in speaking in other languages. They've just been taught wrong about what tongues means. So with all that said, as we go through the rest of the night, that's a gift of the Spirit to be able to just speak in other languages, just the same way it's a gift of the Spirit to be able to know something that God knows on the inside of you, to speak something that God is saying through you called prophecy. Speaking in another language is what we would call speaking in other tongues, you know, from a biblical terminology standpoint. That's what that means. So I think every Christian believes that God can speak in other tongues. And I just kind of want to clarify that for you, because you have been taught wrong about a lot of things. And speaking in other tongues or other languages is one of them. In fact, we'd probably be better off not even saying other tongues, because we don't use that term today. We would just say, do you believe in speaking in other languages? And obviously we wouldn't find that weird. If someone went to college to take another language or learned it in high school, that's not demonic, right? So why is it weird if I get up here and I speak in a different language? If I learned it from a school, you wouldn't have a problem with it, but because I learned it from God, it's a problem? That's weird, right? Isn't that weird? I'm sure a lot of this have never occurred to you before, but that's all right, we're learning. But I think it's weird that we approve of it in a secular school, but we don't approve it sometimes when you hear another language in church. That's kind of funny. But anyway, I just want to throw that out at you, because that is what that means. And so as we go forward, we believe that God's living on the inside of us. And we believe God can speak other language, and we believe that God can interpret that language, and we believe that God can speak things through us, right? And also as we go, one more thing I just want to point out, as we go on with the rest of the night, the way you judge whether something is the gospel or not is by the content of what is being said. You ever heard that verse quoted, you shall know them by their fruits? You ever heard that quoted before? It's usually quoted about people's actions. If you actually read the context, it's not talking about people's actions, it's talking about people's words. That's right around that same, it's in the same chapter. Jesus, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Out of a good treasure of a man's heart, he brings out good words. And out of the evil treasure of a man's heart, he brings out evil words. And so when he says you shall know them by their fruit, that means you shall know them by their words. He's talking about how to detect a good teacher or a bad teacher. So if I get up here, you've seen things before where, you know, I'll make a face or I'll move in a certain way or something like that. Push all that aside. Push all that aside and just listen to the words. You shall know me tonight by my words. You shall measure me tonight by my words. You shall measure this church by our words, right? Don't measure us by the way it appears. Measure us by our words as to whether we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or not. And if the words are good, and if the words are teaching Jesus, then that's all that matters. It really is all that matters. So anyway, with all that said, let's keep praying. We're going to take some time and pray and see what the Lord wants to say and stuff to us. But keep all that in mind, because it's just so important to kind of go forward with a good mentality, right? knowing how to measure the gospel and all that stuff. So let's just keep praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. There's nothing you can't do, Lord. Because we've been given access to all of your power. So there's nothing you can't do, Lord. Because we've been given access to everything that you have through Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Temporal things in this world fade away. Temporal things in this world fade away, Lord. But we have something eternal living on the inside of us. Something that keeps going, Lord, living on the inside of us. That can be given to our bodies. It can be given to the bodies of other people to keep their bodies going. What we have is not temporal. This world is temporal, but we are not temporal because we have the eternal Spirit of God living on the inside of us that can give that eternal power to our bodies so that we can walk and not grow weary, so that we can run and not faint because it's the everlasting God that lives on the inside of us. And He multiplies His strength to us as well, that everlasting strength. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And for guys back there, as I'm quoting certain verses, if you want to throw them on the screen, that's fine. But thank you so much, Lord, for you are the everlasting God and that you increase strength to us, Lord. Thank you for increasing your everlasting strength to us, Lord, keeping us living long, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power that lives on the inside of us, Lord, to heal sickness, to heal disease, Lord. That's what we have on the inside of us. Not degradation, Lord, but everlasting strength. That's what we've been given through Jesus. So we appreciate the fact that we have this gift tonight, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the Prince of the power of the air has no power here, Lord. No power here, Lord. The Prince of the power of the air has no power here, Lord. We've been bought. We've been bought. Thank you so much, Jesus. We've been bought. Thank you, Lord, with sinless, precious blood. We've been bought. I thank you so much, Jesus, for that. We're purchased, Lord. We're out of there now. We thank you so much now that we have authority over all things, including the Prince of the power of the air, Lord. That's just another name for the devil, but I thank you so much, Lord, for turning things around for us, Lord, that we don't belong to whom we used to belong to. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not this building, but our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Lord, for making us your temple. Thank you for the grace you've put on the inside of us, Lord, and the ability you've put on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have no doubt, Lord, that we are yours and you're here with us right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit tonight, Lord. Thank you for the good things that are present with us tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your supernatural power here with us right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to break things off of us so that we couldn't break off ourselves. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for having done that for us, Lord. For cleaning us and washing us of all unrighteousness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That when we believe on you, we're able to be cleansed and washed of all unrighteousness, never to be repeated, Lord. Thank you for that. That we have forgiveness and we have righteousness that never has to be repeated. It never is lost and then regained. It's ours forever because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we have eternal redemption, specifically from sin. We have eternal redemption through Jesus' blood. That means that our redemption from sin, our freedom from sin, is eternal. It's not on again, off again. I thank you so much, Father, for eternal redemption that we have through your blood. We thank you for that, Lord. That eternal forgiveness of sins, Lord. Eternal redemption through your blood. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you that we're made spotless and pure through you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the confidence that gives us before you, Father, that we don't come before you, Lord, if we believed on you, we don't come before you today in sin. We don't come before you as sinners, Lord. We come before you. We look exactly like you do now. The same righteousness that you have is the same righteousness that we have now through you. Thank you for that righteousness, Lord. Thank you for that cleanliness and that purity, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are not as pure as our actions are. We are as pure as Jesus is tonight. Thank you for that. That means, Lord, that we're ready to receive from you at all times. Because we're always qualified. We're never disqualified because we're always pure before you, Lord. We are never impure before you if we have believed on your Son. And we have to believe on your Son, Father, to receive this. Not because our parents believe on your Son, not because someone else believes on your Son, but because we make that personal decision ourselves, that personal commitment in our minds to commit for the rest of our lives in our heart to seek you, Lord, and to seek your knowledge. That's what being saved is. To make a commitment in your mind that for the rest of my life, I'm going to get to know Jesus more. That's what being saved means. That's how you get pure. That's how you get cleansed. Thank you so much, Lord. You make a personal decision. You stand before God and say, Lord, if you did everything like that I'm being taught, if you really did those things, I want to receive it. That's what being saved is. And I commit my heart. It's not about committing your actions to turning away from sin and stop sinning. And no, it's getting saved. It's receiving Jesus. And he'll transform your life for you. But it is committing your mind to Jesus. Committing your mind to him for the rest of your life to get to know him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Simpla batasha legra stalim broshtolo grompo lavrampatashnia. Simpat lavashti bloko lakshania. Simpla fatashnishtio. Thank you, Jesus. Prishta la brokosta lambraka tashnistia. Thank you, Jesus. Sim ploto shavlam pat lavanklia, sim blash talavrankula brunku toshtistia. Sim plafasto shim breklaushinia. Thank you, Lord. Zim pat lavashtia la broko shali Christast, sem bioto shamanglashtia grenku klanshania, fenglasha la branca tashnosto, prensha fo shiam pokunin. Praise Jesus. His Spirit is here. Sopo krombosh na lambranka tafsha vanklian don shemin klistio. Presence of God is here. Sempot lavasta varampoku la janti krista. Segran evranta lavran hafa shavlaka shalebron klok shavron kole profroshian. Levron shafasta ve klan frangia tina. Simbia tafafra fashene kristos. Som brosh talabrokos tin kransi hafa frambot na vankia denshi. Sik la fungia montonchnia, ikan sambon potoshti. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your presence here with us. The confidence that we have before you, Father, to not be afraid of you. The confidence we have before you, Father, to be bold before you. The confidence, Lord, of who we are now in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that confidence, Lord. Praise God. Sim piotosho la brashta la branca la vrinta. Established in the faith. Thank you so much, Lord, for establishing us in the faith. Thank you, Lord. Sim brosh da labranta shaviksnia sebetnia von profodonchnia lakranta. Blessings shoboku shanabrankus in kambranku shia den friends diavetnia shoboku dingi. Evidence. Thank you, Lord. Faith. Evidence. Sebonchia va pronko den shaman frembo da shinilianda grehash. Abranda Shavaguna. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior, for coming for us. Thank you for doing what you've done. Zim Patlavashia. Process of God, my precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. Evidence is being given tonight, Lord, of your Spirit. Precious Jesus, evidence is being given by your Spirit, Lord, tonight. Savior is here tonight. Savior is here tonight. Precious One is here tonight. Dividing people's hearts and speaking to people's minds. A Precious One is here tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation, for having saved us, Lord, already, and what we get to receive from that now. Savior is here tonight. Savior is here tonight. Heaven is here tonight. Given to us. Heaven's been given to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that use tonight. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for heaven being here tonight. Thank you. If anyone needs prayer for healing of anything tonight, if you're willing to, if you're okay to, if you want to just stand in front of the stage somewhere, I'll see you come up. But if you want prayer for any sickness tonight, I want to pray with you. It's not a weird thing. I'm not going to point you out or anything like that. But I just want to pray with you. And if someone does come up, if we can turn the music up louder. Thank you, Jesus, so that no one's hearing anything. But I thank you so much, Jesus, for your spirit that's here tonight, Lord. Your presence that's here tonight, Lord, to heal the sick, Lord, and to minister to us. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. And if you do want to come up, you don't have to stand in front of the pulpit or anything. You just kind of stand off to the side and I'll see you. But thank you so much, Lord, for your presence here, Lord. And by your stripes, we were healed, Jesus. You know what that means? That means that Jesus took wounds in his own body, physical body, to heal your physical ailments. And that thank you so much, Lord, that we've received that. And we're able to receive that, Lord, into our bodies. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that by your wounds, Lord, by your bruising, by your stripes, Lord, on your back that you took, I thank you that we are healed. We were healed at the cross. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of your spirit, Lord. The ministry of your spirit, Lord, with us. Praise you, Jesus. We have nothing short of perfection for our bodies living on the inside of us. Nothing short of perfection. Living, if you're saying, I don't know if I need healing from that, though, it's not really a big deal. God has not given you anything short of perfection in your body. Not a single thing short of perfection. I don't really know if I need healing from this. God knew you needed healing from it, though. And he sent Jesus already and took pains for it. So you might as well use it. You might as well use it because he already gave it. There's no shame in coming up here and praying. Every single one of us at so many points in our life, we need prayer. Sometimes we're just praying to the Lord ourselves. Sometimes we're talking to somebody else for prayer, but prayer is a normal, natural thing about what we do as believers. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. And as I said before, Jesus already provided it. He already provided it for you. Even the things that you don't even think you need, he knew that you needed it. It may seem like a small thing to you even, but that thank you, Lord. But it's not a small thing to Jesus to heal you, to see you healthy. That's not a small thing to Jesus. That's not a small thing to Jesus to see you well. That was a big thing to Jesus. That thing itself is a very small thing. It's a defeated thing already. But I thank you, Lord, it is already finished, though. It's already finished. Don't come up here and expecting God to do something for you. Thank you. It's already finished. He ain't going to finish it tonight. You can just receive what was already finished. If you want to do that tonight, you can receive what's already finished, but he ain't going to finish anything for you tonight. We're late to the game. We're receiving things that he provided 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago by now. We're just late to the game. We're just finding out about something that's been old news, something that God's had in his heart to do for you since before he created the world, but something that he accomplished over 2,000 years ago at the cross. Jesus said it was finished, the stripes have been taken, everything's been done, the world's been defeated, the world around you has been defeated, every problem that you could possibly go through has been defeated by Jesus. It's a done thing already. Don't come up here expecting God to provide something for you. Jesus already provided everything you need. We're just receiving things that he already provided. It is finished. It is finished. Thank you so much, Lord. Everything is finished. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. If you need prayer for something, even if it's beyond your body, whatever it is, you're going through something, you need prayer for something, thank you so much, Jesus. If it's just that you want to get to know Jesus better, I'll pray with you. with that too, but I can pray and I can help you with that particular thing, but that's something that is definitely solved through communication, through hearing the word of God. Here at this church is a humongous help to you. Seeking the Lord in your own time as well. So if it has to do with just simply getting to know Jesus more, I will certainly pray with you on that as well to help you and give you a boost. But that's definitely something you got to continue in the knowledge of Jesus to actually learn that. But anything, you pray for anything, we'll pray with you. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus, for the regard that you had for us, Lord, the regard that you had for us. The Bible says, what is man that you visit him? Thank you so much, Lord, for visiting us, Lord, and for taking care of us. Lord, what were we? We can't say, who am I now? Because we know who we are now. We're just like Jesus now. Lord, what were we that you would regard us to visit us the way you visited us? Who were we, Lord, that you would step down so low and take what you took for us? Thank you so much, Lord. We were nothing of ourselves, Lord, to flaunt anything before you, Lord, or try to coerce you to come down. You came down, Lord, because you wanted to come down. You provided what you provided because you wanted to provide it. No one could have forced you, Lord, and it wasn't our sin that killed Jesus. It was his love for us that put him to death at the cross because he wanted to provide for you. He wanted to provide for your finances. He wanted to make sure that you are well off financially, that you're taken care of. He wanted to do that for your family. He wanted to make sure that you're well, that you're healed. He wanted to make sure that you're not in pain. And he was willing to be in pain himself if it meant you not being in pain. Thank you so much, Jesus. He was willing to be in pain for you. That's what he did. He would rather be in pain than to see you in pain. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the persuasion, Lord, of us being people being persuaded, Lord, of your truth. Tonight, Lord, and going on into the future, through whoever's on this stage, Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for the persuasion, Lord, that's going to go forth. That people are going to be persuaded of the real truth of what Jesus really did, Lord. And it's not that everything we say here is perfect, Lord, but it is a far sight, more Jesus-based and Jesus-centered, Lord, than we're hearing previously. So we thank you so much, Father, for the leadership of Pastor Jose in this church. We thank you so much, Father, for everything that you've shown him, Lord, and everything that you continue to show him, and for the words that you speak through him, Father, just to remind people about Jesus, Lord, and to teach them things that they haven't seen before. Thank you so much, Father, for the persuasion, Lord, for persuading people from what they have heard before, persuading them away, Lord, from the things that contradict the knowledge of Jesus and exalt themselves above the knowledge of Jesus, and for people to, Lord, see the real freedom that they have in Christ. And the beautiful thing, listen, the beautiful thing with people being persuaded about the true Jesus is that people then get to experience that freedom, really. But you can't experience freedom that you don't know about, though, because we receive it through the knowledge of what he did. You can't receive what you don't know. Of course, like tonight, you can get someone else who knows Jesus and get prayer, and that will give you a boost. But it's always somebody has to know Jesus, though. And if you want to continue to experience these things regularly in your life, steadfastly in your life, you need to know the freedoms that you have in Jesus. And I don't know of a better place for you to stick around and let somebody rub off on you than this church. To just hear about the real freedoms that you have in Christ. Man, if you're not saved, that the Son will make you free indeed. And if you are saved, he's just going to reveal the freedom you already have but didn't know this entire time. Thank you so much, Jesus. We're growing in the knowledge of how good we have it in Jesus. That's what renewing our mind is. Understanding good things and freedoms and privileges and abilities that we've had this entire time and just didn't realize we had. And then the beautiful thing of maturing in those things. The beauty of maturing and really growing in the knowledge of those things. Thank you so much, Jesus. It's too good to pass up. If you want to get saved tonight, too, come up here. If you want to get saved, you know what being saved is? Being saved is saying, my life currently is not good enough for me to live and to die and not even know what's going to even happen after that, for that matter. I'm just living like a man and I'm going to die like a man one day, and that's not good enough for me. If that's not good enough for you, then come up and I'll pray with you too about getting saved. And if at any point that I'm praying with somebody else and I'm busy, obviously we have other leaders up here too, that, you know, if I'm busy, you can pray with someone else too. Pastor Jose is right here. Miss Kim is right here. But man, that's what being saved is. If it's not good enough for you anymore, because let's have a little forethought here. Let's not just try to get through the day. Let's not just try to get through the day like the world does. Let's have a little forethought here and say, do I really want to just live and die like a man? And then that's just it. I have no purpose. I have no meaning. I have nothing. If you want to get saved, you can come up here and I'll pray with you about that too. And again, just getting saved is saying, I'm not going to lean on the knowledge of somebody else. I personally want to make a commitment to knowing Jesus. It's not about changing your life. Jesus is going to do that for you. Changing your mind, though, changing your mind is necessary. You need to change your mind. Change what you've been pursuing this entire time, or maybe even all your life. Change what you've been pursuing and start pursuing the knowledge of Jesus and say, I'm going to make a commitment to pursuing that knowledge. I'm going to let Jesus get my life straight for me. I'm going to let Jesus get my word straight for me. But I'm going to start pursuing a different knowledge, a different message in my mind. I'm going to commit to that. And you ain't going to do it perfectly all the time. We're all learning. But you're going to make that commitment. And that's what being saved is. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, therefore, when you believe, when you are assured of what Jesus has done for you, and you say, Lord, I want to seek you for the rest of my life. The Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you, makes you a new creation. And even the stuff you wanted to do before but wasn't any good for you, all of a sudden, the sheen's taken off of it. You don't even like it anymore. Stuff you thought was good before just don't look good anymore. He starts changing your desires, change the way that you speak. You don't like hanging out with the same crowd anymore. You don't like doing the same things. You don't like listening to the same things. Jesus just does that for you. And you don't even have to do it for yourself. You don't even have to do it for yourself. What you've heard about repentance and changing your life for Jesus in the past is not correct. We come to Jesus to get washed of sin. We don't wash ourselves of sin for Jesus. We are not that good and that awesome that we do that for ourselves. Jesus is awesome, and he does that for us. He does that for us. I want to tell you tonight that whether it's salvation or whether it's something else, an issue, or whether it's healing, if there's anybody else that needs anything like that, I want to inform you that Jesus came to serve you. He came to serve you, not tonight. He came to serve you a long time ago. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. That was his purpose. He didn't come to teach you how to live. He didn't come to teach you how to live. That would be him asking you for your service. He said, I didn't come to be served. I didn't come to ask you to do a service for me. I came to do a service for you. And again, we can receive that tonight, but that service was already accomplished. Jesus came and served us. How does that make you feel? That Jesus bent down, came low, and served you. That should make you feel taken care of. That should make you feel loved. Thank you so much, Lord, for coming down such a long way, Lord, enduring so much pain, suffering, Lord, and taking that upon yourself to serve us, Lord, to serve us. Thank you, Lord. The church today, Lord, is much of it is so wrapped up in serving you. The gospel is how Jesus served us, and even the service we do for one another is just that grace that he provided us serving through us. It's not even really us serving. When we serve one another, it's the Holy Spirit that he provided us doing it through us. We're still not serving anybody. It's still the service of Jesus serving through us. What he provided us at the cross serving through us. Thank you so much, Jesus. No one, Lord, no one but believers have such good news like this. Thank you, Lord. We got such good news. Such good news, Lord. Such good news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We got a message to teach, and I rebuke any hindrance to that right now in the name of Jesus. We have a message to teach, and I rebuke any hindrance to that right now in the name of Jesus. Seeing as we have full authority over everything in this entire universe, I rebuke any hindrance to that in the name of Jesus right now. There is no obstacles to the knowledge being taught at this church or by any individual at this church. There is no obstacles to us, Father. I thank you for removing those things, and I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus and command those things to leave and get out of the way. Thank you that we have a message to teach and things to do, Lord. And we're full of your Spirit, Lord, and we got something to say, therefore. So thank you so much, Father, for that. We love you. We praise you, Lord. We give you every bit of glory, Lord, for everything you've already done, any manifestation that we ever see in this church or in our own lives. We give you the glory, Father, for it, because you came up with it, Father. It was in your heart to do it. You were in Christ, reconciling the world to yourself. You were in Christ, taking all that pain upon his flesh. You were doing this in Christ. You've provided all these things. And then you're the one, you're the shepherd of our soul that taught us these things, Lord. Therefore, all glory goes to you, Lord. All glory goes to you, Lord, because you're the one that did all of this. And we're just enjoying it all. We're just reveling in everything that, Father, that you did. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first, because you love us whether we love you or not. So thank you, Father, for doing everything you've done through Jesus. I'm going to just give you a last call. If there's anyone else that needs prayer for anything, thank you so much, Jesus, for plenty of your Spirit, Lord. Plenty of your Spirit to go around. If there's anybody that needs prayer for anything else, just I'll give you a kind of a last call. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. And there is no hindrance to this right now. Nothing holding anyone back right now. There is no hindrances right now in the name of Jesus. They're gone. And we are free, Lord, to come up for prayer if we need prayer for anything. Thank you, Lord. It is good news, Lord. It is good news that we have. Thank you, Jesus. Just like the dinner bell ringing, Lord, for people to come and eat what Jesus already served. Thank you, Lord. That's all that the gospel is. It's just a dinner bell for people to come in and eat what's already been served. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to repay. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your works. He doesn't want any of that. He wants people to come and eat what Jesus already served, that he already paid for. He already had the bill. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to do anything right to get it. Thank you, Jesus. The gospel is just that dinner bell. If anyone wants to receive, you can come and receive it. It's all free because Jesus already paid in full. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much, Father, for the payment that your son paid and for you having worked this and operated through Christ by your Spirit to get these things done. Thank you so much, Jesus. We love you so much, Lord. Just like Brother Matt was saying before, if we hear that dinner bell and we get a little bite of it, I thank you, Lord. There would be no reason to just keep on eating if we enjoyed that bite. Thank you, Lord, because the rest of it is just as good, and we're going to find out that it's even better than we think. Thank you so much, Lord, for everything you served us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah, I think we're good. Thank you so much, Jesus. Everything, you know, when we say at this church, that we teach the knowledge of Jesus, you know, so many times if we have at least the text or paragraph space in, you know, whatever we're writing, or at least the time to say it if we're preaching it, you know, every single person in the church believes it's all about Jesus. Everybody does. You're going to go on a church website, Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Some will kind of get into like some other, you know, kind of other things where maybe they don't mention Jesus quite as much, but anyone's going to agree with that. But it's always important to state that it's about what Jesus did for you, and it's not about what you do for Jesus. Because that distinction, when people say it's all about Jesus, and then you go to a church and they say, okay, today we're going to do a message about loving your neighbor. As if what Jesus, and I'm not saying you shouldn't love your neighbor in the sense that, you know, that the Lord won't do that through you. The Lord will love your neighbor through you. But even the love that we have for our neighbor, like I was just mentioning before, is the grace that Jesus provided that is produced through us. In other words, Jesus provided love. He provided every righteous thing at the cross. He puts that inside of us, and that's the thing that loves our neighbor through us. But when people sometimes say it's all about Jesus, it ends up being it's all about Jesus and sort of his teachings, or it's all about Jesus instead of like, my life is all about Jesus. Like it's all about living for Jesus. And that's not what it's about. What Jesus came to do, what you could not do. what you could not. If you can actually put up a Romans chapter 8, and I think it's verse 2. Romans 8, 2. Let me just share you, just because we have a couple of minutes. So let me just show you a verse here. Let's see. Romans 8, 2. Okay, so Romans, and actually, let me see. Let's start in verse 1. Romans 8, 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh." If you actually, you can throw up even the New King James Version. I want to kind of show you a particular word in that version of verse 3. It says, what the law could not do. What does that mean for what the law could not do? The law that he's referring to is your works, right? Whenever you see the law used in the Bible, if it's talking about the Old Testament law, that's talking about your service to God. Because the Old Testament law required you to do things for God. That's why if you'll notice the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say Jesus did, Jesus did, Jesus did. It says thou shall not. That's what the Ten Commandments, and that's what all the Old Testament law is about. It's about what you can do for Jesus. And obviously that's why it was a failed covenant, because we could never do anything of ourselves for the Lord, right? So when it says for what the law could not do, that might as well say what you could not do. The reason why it was saying the law was incapable of doing anything profitable is because the law is about your works. The law is about what you shall do for God and what you shall not do for God. That's what it's based on. So when he says what the law could not do, he's telling you what your works could not do. What you could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. That's actually what that means. Weak through the flesh means the only reason why the law was weak is because it required things of your flesh and your flesh was weak. That's what it's actually saying here. But just to sort of, not to go too deep into that, what the law could not do is God sending his own Son. What that means is, and actually in the New King James Version, it says, you see how it says God did? Now, you know, I know that when something is italicized or in brackets like that in the Bible, it means the word is not there. But the reason why they put God did is because kind of that's sort of Paul's point in this scripture. You can put the King James Version back up. But it says what the law could not do, God sending his own Son. That means that the gospel is not about what you can do. The law was about what you could do for God. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 that it was weak and unprofitable. That's why the law was so we can never could accomplish anything, because we could never accomplish anything, and the law was asking us to do something for God. This concept of living for Jesus has already been tried out for thousands of years. Living for Jesus is a thing of the law. You may not term it that way, but that's what the law is. You shall keep away from this, and you shall do the right thing. And yet we teach that like it's a new covenant thing, living for Jesus. But living for Jesus is an old covenant thing. Now, hold on with me on that. In the new covenant, there is a living for Jesus, but now that happens by the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying here is, what the law could not do, or what you couldn't do under the law, what your flesh couldn't do under the law, God sending his own Son. That means God did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. You couldn't receive righteousness by doing it yourself under the law, so therefore God sent his Son. God did what you could not do in making you righteous. You couldn't earn healing under the law. You couldn't heal yourself or redeem yourself from the problems of this world under the law. Therefore, God sending his own Son. God redeemed you from what you could not escape from on your own. God healed you of things that you could not develop or earn on your own. Anything that you couldn't do under the law, in the gospel, God did. And that's why the New King James Version translates it as God did, because that's the sort of the connotation here of the law is about what you do, and the gospel is about what God did in sending his Son for you. So anytime that you go to a church or something like that, and to be quite honest, I wouldn't get too liberal with that, going to other churches, you know, you go to any church that's teaching Jesus. Even if it's not this church, go to any church that's teaching Jesus. But I haven't found a better example of that than this church right now. And that's not a brag, that's just good advice. But nevertheless, that is the centrality of the gospel right there. It's not about what we can do for Jesus. That's what the law tried to do, and that's why it was so weak and unprofitable, because that about describes our efforts toward Jesus, weak and unprofitable. We try to change ourselves, we try to earn things, we try to do things ourselves, And all those results are always weak and unprofitable. But whatever you couldn't do, which is everything, God did, sending his own son. That is the point of the gospel. So when we talk here about this church, about the fact that it's all about Jesus, if we ever have time to explain that, you know, it's important to make that distinction and say, what I mean by it's all about Jesus is not that it's all about you living for Jesus, or it's just all about what he taught you, so-called, and living for him, but it's all about what Jesus did for you. It is not about what you do for Jesus, because you couldn't. But what you couldn't do under the law, under that old covenant, in the new covenant, God did for you. God served you through Jesus, and that is an awesome, awesome thing, to have everything in this covenant just handed to you, and God just wants to teach you about it so you can get to know it, and once you know it, you can experience it.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.